read this out. This was a medical doctor, and she was working and working, and she got to a point, I've read this story before, where she now started taking some form of medication. All right, she started taking some drugs to help her and stabilize her. And she said, knowing as I did, the awful power of the habit-inducing drug to enslave and to destroy its victims, and with practical demonstration of it before my eyes, every day among the most brilliant members of the medical profession, she said, I'm a graduate, this was around 1922, of the University of Michigan, Department of Medicine. I was utterly inexcusable for daring to trifle, even for a moment, with such a destructive agent. And alas, I thought I was toying with the drug. But one day I made a startling discovery that the drug, or rather the demon power in the back of the drug, was playing with me. The bloodthirsty tiger that had devoured so many victims had me in his grasp. Of the anguish of my soul, the day I had to acknowledge to myself that morphine was the master and I the slave, I can even now hardly bear to speak. And then she said, I have this fault with many testimonies to healing, that the individual in telling of his healing fails to make it clear that he, the witness, really suffered from the disease of which he professes to have been cured. So people don't talk about how bad the disease was, they just say they were healed. And without saying it, people might not get the real picture of the kind of deliverance that God wrought. It may be quite evident that he believes that his soul suffered, but that is worlds away from the point at issue. Testimonies of this character are quite valueless from a scientific standpoint. And to avoid falling into this error, I desire to leave no one, no shadow of doubt in the mind of anyone, that I was a veritable victim, all right, of morphine. My ordinary dose of the drug varied from 10 to 14 grains a day. I thus took regularly about 15 times the normal dose for an adult man, as a woman. I took the chloral hydrate, a most deadly drug used by criminals in the concussion of the so-called knockout drops, taking 120 grains in two doses of 60 grains at an interval of 1 hour each night at bedtime. The safe dose of chloral, indeed, there is no safe dose in my opinion. But said, if you want to say a safe dose, is about 5 grains. I regularly took about 24 times that will have been prescribed by a doctor. I took morphine by mouth in the form of sulfate in 1.5 grain tablets, which I imported wholesale. I was living in Canada at that time for my personal use. While some have taken larger doses than this, I find it hard to believe that anyone was ever more completely enthralled by the drug than I was. I could, by desperate efforts, only God knows how desperate they were, diminish the dose somewhat, but I always reached a minimum beyond which it was impossible to carry the reduction. To ask whether I'd taken the drug on any particular day was needless, as to inquire whether I'd inhaled atmospheric air, one seemed necessary to my existence as the other. When by tremendous, hear what she said, tremendous, which is what many Christians try to do to break a habit, tremendous exercise of willpower, I abstained from it for 24 hours, my condition was truly pitiable. I trembled with weakness. My whole body was bathed in cold sweat. My heart fluttered. My respiration was irregular. My stomach was unable to retain even so much as a drop of water. My intestines were racked with pain and tortured with persistent diarrhea. I was unable to stand erect, to articulate clearly, or even sign my own names. My thoughts were unconnected, my mind filled with horrid imaginations and all of that. Worst of all, my whole being was possessed with a specific, irresistible, indescribable craving for the drug. Anyone who has not felt it cannot imagine what it is. Every cell of your body seems shrieking for it. It established, all right, itself. I found that 5 o'clock each afternoon, I had to have it. The demand for it was imperative and could not be denied. She said, say what you may say about willpower. For my part, I am satisfied that no human determination can withstand the morphine demon when once his rule is established. His diabolical power is superhuman. But thank God, one has said, I have given you power over all the power of the enemy. Divine power is to be had for the asking and receiving. I did not succumb, however, without many fierce struggles. I believe I made at least 57 desperate attempts to rid myself of these. Over and over again, I threw away large quantities of the drugs, determined I will never touch them again, even if I died as a result of abstaining from them. So if I die, let me die. I must have wasted a small fortune this way. I tried all the substances recommended by my medical profession. I consulted many physicians, some of them men of national reputation. I can never forget the tender consideration that I received in the hands of some of these, but they were powerless to break my fetters. I got so far away from God, I actually tried Christian Science. I took then, all right, the Kelly Gold Cure. All right, if there was anything I did not try, it was what I did not learn about. I left the Gold Cure Institute in a crazed condition. I was transferred to a sanatorium for nervous diseases and placed under care of a famous specialist. From this institution, I emerged still taking morphine and Chloral, as doctors would not allow me to dispense with them, partly because of my physical condition and more perhaps because of my unbalanced mental state, which always became aggravated when I no longer used them. Of the suffering these efforts to free myself cost me, I will rather not speak. I was a perfect wreck mentally and physically, like a skeleton with a devil inside. One of my nurses said, I think her description, if not flattering, was accurate. That's what one of the nurses said. My friends had lost all hope of ever seeing me delivered. As far as urging me to give up the drug, they advised me to take them as the only means for preserving the little reason that remained in me. They expected my wretched life to come to an early close and really could not desire to see so miserable an existence prolonged. All right? Then she went on and said this. Though I dreamed the night and day of freedom. Now, there's a point I want us to understand. The dream seemed impossible of realization. I said it will take something stronger than death to deliver me. For the hold of this hideous thing is far deeper than my physical being. And I was right. For it took the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus to make me free from the law of sin and death. Here is the point I want to get across. Do you ask, did you not pray? She said, yes. I prayed. I came to the place where I did nothing else but pray. I prayed and prayed and then prayed and prayed. Night after night, I walked up and down our long drawing rooms, calling on God, and sometimes almost literally tearing the hair out of my head. And you say, and you were not healed after that? She said, no. I wasn't healed because I didn't believe the simple statement of the word of God. Rather, my healing could not be manifested because of my unbelief. I shut the door and prevented the power of God from operating unhindered in my body, even though she was pacing and praying. The key to breaking the hold of anything is what Paul said. He said, yield yourselves unto God as people that are alive from the dead, and then sin will no longer have dominion over you. Which means, even if you are in sickness, you yield yourself to God as one that is completely healed. You present yourself to God in song as one who is free from the disease. You sing about the victory as though it's already wrought. You are not praying to try to get it. By doing that, you miss the point. Do you understand what I'm saying here? So what I want is, you stop, listen, and I'll show this. Prayer brings revelation. Revelation brings praise. Praise brings grace. Grace brings manifestation. Prayer doesn't bring manifestation. Prayer brings revelation. Revelation inspires praise. Praise produces grace. Grace brings manifestation. So what she said here was that, and why did you not have faith? Simply because, she asked that, do you not have faith? She said, I did not have enough light to take it. There was not enough revelation to lay hold on it. All right? She went on. It is a gift and must be appropriated. And moreover, God's method of bestowing it is through his word. Faith cometh, note, that it cometh by hearing. And hearing, all right, by the word of God. I was getting very weak and spent hour after hour in bed. But God in his mercy kept me, all right, much alone so that he could talk to me. At last, hear what was going on. She had been praying. She said, at last, I drew my neglected Bible to me. I drew my, listen to what I'm saying. There are people that are praying that don't have the word basis. Said, at last, remember what Hagin said. When he was on his deathbed, he said, I could only stammer at certain moments. And when I got the chance, I said, I told my mother, get me the Bible. The Holy Ghost says the answer is in the Bible. Get me the Bible. Get me the Bible. Says, and when he got the Bible, he began to read the Bible. And then he got to a point and he saw, whosoever shall say and will not doubt, but believe that those things that you are saying. You see, when you pray and you read the Bible, you see the answer in the Bible. All right? When you see the answer in the Bible, you rejoice in the answer, and the answer is translated into your life by grace. You don't take it in prayer, you take it in praise. Many of us are struggling in prayer to produce by our effort in prayer that which is reserved for praise. Do you understand what I'm saying? The push in prayer is open my eyes that I might see. When you see, the push now becomes, this is the reality of my life. Father, I thank you for it. Regardless of what's going on, I rejoice. I stop beholding life vanity. I'm a free man, even though the bondage seems to be there. Do you get what I'm saying? The order is the prayer produces the revelation. The revelation produces the praise. The praise produces the manifestation. In other words, what am I saying? Whatever you're believing God today, after tonight, the process of manifestation, depending on where you are, some tonight will be completed, some tonight will start, but enter this covenant to offer the sacrifice of praise continually. That is, God, you will have no rest. I will be praising you for the fulfillment of this as though it is mine until my righteousness. Do you get what we're saying here? Every morning you will hear this song, until my righteousness goes forth. You will, listen, this is the last song you will hear at night before I sleep. When I wake up, I will rejoice like you have blessed me with the fullness of that. He said, I will put pressure on the forces of heaven with a voice of victory, with a shout. Not with a cry that when are you going to do it, but with a shout that calls into existence those things that be not as though they are. That's what a watchman does. He says he will see eye to eye, the manifestation will come. The pressure is with praise. The pressure is with praise. So let me close with this here. Therefore, set up. This is what you need to do. Set up a structure to praise God. Are you following me saying? Listen. For you to get high manifestation, I was discussing a friend just before I came. He said, I see what you are saying. He said, do you remember that Jesus said, a man discovered, the kingdom of God is as if a man discovered a treasure. When he discovered a treasure, he went, sold everything to focus on that treasure. When God gives you revelation, zero your life around that revelation. Give up every other thing to center your life on that revelation. Give up everything. Leave watching TV. Do you understand what I'm saying here? That is your life. Hear what David said in Psalm 119 and verse 164. David organized his life and said, seven times a day, seven, do I praise thee because of your righteous judgments. He saw the judgments of God and set up seven Pentecostals. We are too rascally. Other religions saw the early church do it and they maintain structured prayer life. We are just kind of like, we praise. So after 3 weeks, we pray. Listen to me, the pressure has to be there. Moses' hand had to be lifted up continuously. The praise has to be going up continuously for the breakthrough to come. If the praise stops, the breakthrough stops. He said seven times. That means David said at 7:15, praise. At 8:20, praise. At 12:20, praise. At 4:15, praise. For him to have been counting it is a structured man. He didn't just say, I will pray. He said seven times, which means he saw something about it. He said, seven times will I praise thee on righteous judgment from the world. I guarantee something. You come into the presence of God, they said of Jesus, you know, sometime I think was ever, Kagan used to teach this. Many people miss out on the supernatural because they are waiting for the spectacular. Are you following what I'm saying? There was a boy that Jesus spoke about. When they got there, the father asked, when did he begin to amend? What we are saying, after this service, everything in your life will begin to amend. Listen to me. With some of you, you might not go out and it's done tomorrow morning. But we are saying you will trace it to your encounter in this meeting. At what time did the changes start? We are saying the trajectory begins to work for you after this meeting. All right? And when it starts working for you, don't stop praising. Don't relax. All right? Peter started walking on water. He hadn't gotten to where he was going. And then he took his eyes off Jesus. Don't stop because there's some encouraging signal. Continue until your light breaks forth as the morning. Psalm 13 here, verse 1. How long will thou forget me? Now this order of prayer, light, rejoicing. Forever, how long will thou hide thy face from me? How long will I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and hear me, O Lord my God. Lighten my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest my enemy say, I have prevailed against him, which means open my eyes and victory will be there. And those that trouble me rejoice that I'm moved. All I need not to be moved and to get victory is light in my eyes. Then he said, but I have trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. I will sing unto the Lord, for he has dealt bountifully with me. So God lightens the eyes and he says, they that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. I will not observe lying vanity. I will focus on that light and rejoice in the salvation of that light. Do you get what I'm saying? So the final scripture, Hebrews chapter 7. And we'll get into it. Hebrews chapter 7. Oh, yeah. Verse 14. All right, from verse 12. For the priesthood being changed, there is made a necessity of the change of the law. There's one translation that says, talks about, you know, when God wants to change things, this is the order he does. Do you get what we're saying there? For he of whom those things are spoken pertaineth to another tribe, of which no man gave attendance at the altar. They never saw your type marking register in that office. Do you understand what I'm saying there? No man gave attendance. So if they were going to ask anybody to predict, it's not from your area they will predict. Nobody of your kind. If they were calculating, in other words, they are inside, all right, let me put it this way. This is what we're saying. You are an engineer running your company. They now want to decide who is going to head all of the hospitals in Nigeria. You know, it's among the doctors they should be asking. They bring you from another tribe. You and don't know this. When you got there, you understood what hospital, You are got there. When you got there, say, this gynecology, I didn't know. Okay, this pediatric, this is it. So they brought you from another tribe where no man ever gave attendance at the altar. How does that kind of thing happen? It says, the way it happens is that, for it is evident the Lord sprang. The word Judah means praise. The Lord sprang. You know, when something, all right, springs in that particular way, right? When it says to spring, it means to spring out. It means to leap. It means to act suddenly. And imagines people are surprised at. It means to act suddenly and swiftly by a sudden dirt or thrust forward and outward, or being suddenly released from a contained position. It is an explosive jump, moving from one place to another, going off in an uncharted territory. It is a jump without any apparent effort on your part and without covering the bases between the starting and ending point. It is a leap that has no guide to follow. It is after the order of Melchizedek. Look at what it says. Of which the tribe Moses spoke to her. For yet, it is far more evident that after the similitude of Melchizedek, ariseth another priest, who is made not after the law of the canon commandment, but after the power of an endless life. What is the similitude of Melchizedek? What they are saying is, without father, without mother, without, we can't trace where you came from. You just showed up on the scene. You understand what I'm saying there? When he says after the other, nobody heard about Melchizedek in the Bible. He just showed up one day. Where did you come from? He says, I'm the priest. Abraham, you that you are the chairman of God, you paid tithes to me. He became the head of a lineage. Can you understand what I'm saying? The Bible says the less pays tithes to the greater. In other words, Abraham that was the champion said, I am less than Melchizedek. Meanwhile, we didn't hear of any conversation between God and Melchizedek. He says, you will spring upon people. Are you following what I'm saying? It is a quantum leap that is not traceable. You didn't cover the bases. You didn't go from level one to level two to level... Do you understand what I'm saying? Praise brings about that leap. Are you following what I'm saying? But you must belong to the tribe. Not what you do once, but that's your tribe, praise. Which means that is your tribe. The language you speak is praise. The tradition you have is praise. The culture that you have is praise. It is your tribe. People that come from the tribe of praise spring up everywhere. Listen to what I'm saying. Anybody that is a born-again Christian, and you didn't hear about the person, suddenly they showed up on the radar with speed. The secret is praise. Hear what I'm saying? Anybody that you just saw, everything is moving fast. You say, how are you doing it? One word, praise. They entered into the tribe of Judah. When you enter that tribe, you start springing. The Bible says, let the people praise him. Then shall the earth yield its increase. Which means that the Bible says the seed sprang forth, it knoweth not how. For the earth of itself bringeth forth. So things begin to spring. You won't be able to explain it. Don't try to teach people your secret to success. You don't know how you got there. Do you understand what I'm saying? Don't go and, let me tell you this. Many people, let me tell you, all right, when we do the ministers conference in September, I'm going to teach you. Many young men are confused because nobody knows the details of how he got to where he got to. And therefore, when you teach an order that is incomplete and somebody tries to fit into it, you have given a half story. He can never fit into that story. So he's struggling, wondering what's going on. Are you following what I'm saying here? Because you do not know how. He asked Bishop T.D. Jakes, how did you get to where you are? He said, I've accomplished in 4 years what I thought would take 100 years. They said, how? He said, I stumbled into it. But how did he stumble there? One thing you know is that we praise. Anything that happens, praise the Lord. Anything that happens, we give thanks. We do not murmur. That's our tribe. Do you understand what I'm saying? All right? Praise the Lord. That is your tribe. So what we are doing tonight is to join a tribe. Not just to have... It's not just to have a service. But let's take it as an initiation into the tribe of Judah. That from now on, anything happens in the office, praise the Lord. All right? There is a hold up. Instead of complaining, what's going on? Praise the Lord. Listen to what I'm saying. Somebody scratches your car. Instead of coming out, almost giving a kung fu cake. Praise the Lord. Are you following what I'm saying? Everything is what? Praise the Lord.
Thank you for listening.